good morning, everyone. It's always a pleasure to be with you. This morning, I hope you will enjoy what I have here as much as I have, as much as I do. As most of you know, I'm a great lover of history. I was a history major, and one of my great loves is studying famous people or people who have achieved a great deal. And I have a folder at home entitled Great Personalities. And what I'm amazed at is the number of women among those great personalities. We tend to think that it's a man's world, and to some degree it is. It's been a patriarchal society. Now that much is true. But you would be surprised at the number of women who rose to the top of power and exercised judgment. And this morning we're going to look into perhaps the most powerful woman in the Bible. She was a remarkable person. But before I do that, just think of some of the great women down through history who achieved greatness in power. In the 20th century alone, we had Indira Gandhi, Prime Minister of India. We had the quintessential Yiddish mama, Golda Meir of Israel, and the indomitable Margaret Thatcher of Britain. She was four times Prime Minister, four times in a row. No other person in British history was ever Prime Minister four times in a row. The great William Gladstone did have four reigns, but not in a row. The great Benjamin Disraeli was only twice, and the greatest man of the 20th century, as some look at it, Sir Winston Churchill, was only twice. You had Catherine the Great of Russia, Maria Theresa of Austria. You had Queen Victoria of the British Empire at its height. You had the tempestuous Elizabeth I, daughter of Henry VIII, who defended Britain against the Armada. And another little-known queen, but still a remarkable woman, Queen Anne. If we realized it in the early years of the 18th century, under her reign and the policies of her administration, set Britain on a trajectory to become the greatest empire in the world. She's not given credit very much because we don't know very much about her, but she's remarkable. But we're not talking about any of those today. We are going to look at an incredible woman, a woman who was a prophetess, she was a judge, and she was also entitled a mother in Israel. She had to hold the hand of a faltering general who was afraid. She had to stand in the breach between the Canaanites and the forces of Israel, because they were almost about ready to run. She had to summon them. Who is this woman? Who are we talking about? Her name was Deborah, and she was a judge. So if you'll turn with me to the book of Judges, where else would we go? The book of Judges, chapter 4. And we're going to spend the bulk of the time in chapters 4 and 5 of the book of Judges, and we're going to cap it off with some comments that Josephus makes, because he fills in some detail. Now, if you will recall, the period of Judges was a period of time where Israel was constantly going after other gods. God then sold them into slavery, subjection. They cried out, they repented. God was merciful, raised a judge. And no sooner did that happen than the judge died, than back again went the Israelites. So let's pick up the story in Judges chapter 4 and verse 1. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Yabin, king of Canaan, who ruled in Hazor. The captain of his host was Sisera, who lived in Haroshet of the nations. And the children of Israel cried to the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and he mightily oppressed the children of Israel 20 years. And verse 4, and Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidot, judged Israel at that time. So she was a prophetess. Now, Deborah wasn't the only prophetess in Israel's history, but she was in some pretty good company. You might recall Anna, the prophetess who met Mary and Joseph in the temple in Jerusalem when coming to fulfill the purification rites. You can read about her in Luke chapter 2, verse 36. We're not going to turn there for the sake of time. And also remember Huldah in the days of Josiah, when they came across the book of the law and realized the curses that would come upon Israel. Who did they go to? A prophetess. Pardon me, but a woman. How's that for political correctness? Okay? These women were powerful, and they had the Spirit of God, and God worked through them, not just men, really. Now, Deborah's name, interestingly enough, in Hebrew, means bee, like a stinging bee, and she lived up to her name, and God used her to mightily sting the Canaanites. But we'll also find that she was a judge. And verse 5 of chapter 4, and she lived under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And when it talks about the palm tree, it doesn't mean a single tree. It's more like a small grove of palms. And it's called the palm tree, the palm area of Deborah, because it was associated with her. She would sit there, she would hold court, and the people would come with their problems. Just as in the days of Moses, they came to Deborah. And she sent, in verse 6, and called for Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with you 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun, and I will draw Sisera to you. Or we might translate that lure. Either way, God is going to lure the Canaanites to battle, and he is going to destroy them through the Israelites. At the river Kishon, together with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into your hands. So you notice, it was Deborah who summoned Barak. Deborah took the lead in doing this. God had obviously revealed it to her. And notice what she said in verse 6. Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded? This is powerful in the Hebrew. Deborah is saying, go, Barak, do your thing. And notice verse 8, what Barak says. If you will go with me, then I will go. But Deborah, if you will not go with me, I won't go. Does anybody remember a rock group that arose in the 1960s. They invaded from England, known as the Beatles. I mean, when I talk about the Beatles, I'm talking, you know, John Lennon, Paul McCartney. Well, they sang many songs, but one of the songs had a refrain in it, which I find very appropriate for this. And it went, I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. Well, this is Barak in a different twist. He's not saying to Deborah, I want to hold your hand. He's saying, Deborah, would you please hold my hand? What is this? And if you want to get a feel for it, turn over with me to chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 7. Now, this is Deborah speaking, and we'll read this whole thing a little later. But what does Deborah say? The leaders ceased in Israel. They ceased until I, Deborah, arose, until I arose, a mother in Israel. And what she's saying is, do I, a mother in Israel, have to arise to hold your hand? Have we sunk that far? And the answer is yes. It's a commentary on the times. You know, where were the men of Israel? Where were the leaders? They just weren't. So God used Deborah. So anyway, back to chapter 4. And she said in verse 9, I will surely go with you, but the journey that you take shall not be for your honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And that happened. Oh, did that happen to a woman named Yael and what she did. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And continuing on down, and Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. And he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. And you had Heber, the Kenite of the children of Hobad, the father-in-law of Moses. He separated himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent toward the plain of Zanaim near Kadesh. And they told Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor. And Sisera gathered all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people with him, from Haroshet, to the nations of the nations to the river of Kishon. Now, verse 14, you've got to understand that a space of time has occurred. And they got there, and they saw the armies of Canaan, the Canaanites, and they were afraid. And Josephus is going to point that out when we get to him a little later on. And they're faltering, and they're almost set to run. And that's when Deborah had to say to Barak, "Up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you?" She's got to bolster Barak. She's got to rouse the army of Israel. Nobody else would, but a woman in Israel, a mother in Israel. So Barak went down from Mount Tabor and 10,000 men after him. And the Lord struck Sisera and all the chariots and all the army with the edge of the sword in front of Barak, so that Sisera got down from the chariot and fled on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots and the army Taroshet of the nations. And all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. There was not a man left. And Sisera fled on his feet to the tent of Yael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite. For there was peace between Yabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber, the Kenite. And Yael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Turn in, my lord, turn in to me, do not fear." When he had turned aside to her into the tent, she covered him with a rug. She put a covering over him. The guy's cold, and he's cowering, he's shivering, this great commander of the Canaanite army. And he said to her, "Please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty." Now get this picture. Here is the mighty Sisera, the commander of 900 chariots, of thousands of men, reduced to begging a woman for some food, for some water. You know, it has been said, and I think it's true, most dictators, most real dictators and butcherers are cowards at heart. They're afraid. Oh, and they've got an army behind them and a helpless foe before them. Oh, they're big and brave and bold. But when you strip the power from them, their conviction, their character just melts like butter on a hot day. And he said to her, "Please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty." She opened the skin of milk and gave him a drink and covered him. Now, this was more like sour milk. It was good milk, but it was in a skin. Remember, no refrigerators, no coolers in those days, so they put milk in skins. And again he said to her, "Stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be, when any man comes asking of you, saying, 'Is there any man here?' you shall say, 'No.'" So anyway, he's asleep. Then Yael, Heber's wife, took a peg of the tent. Now this peg, mind you, was more like an iron rod. You know how they would put their pegs around the tents so they could hold down those tents? And it was like a foot long, mind you, of iron, sharp iron. And what did she do? And she, in verse 21, went softly to him and struck the peg into his temple and beat it into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. So he died. Now, if you can get the picture, he's on the ground. Yael, boy, no shrinking violet was she. Took that iron peg a foot long, put it to his temple, and with one mighty blow, pierced his skull into the ground. And there he was, thrust fast to the ground. And she was praised when we get to chapter 5. And on that day, God subdued Yabin, king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel went on and pressed hard against Yabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Yabin, the king of Canaan. Now, that was chapter 4, and chapter 4 is written in prose. Now, we're going to get to chapter 5, which is kind of a repeat of chapter 4, but it is in magnificent poetry. This is some of Hebrew poetry at its best. Then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, sang on that day, saying, "Praise the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes, I will sing to the Lord." This is Deborah speaking. "I will sing to the Lord, the God of Israel. Lord, when you went out of Seir, when you marched out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled, the heavens dropped, the clouds also dropped water. The mountains quaked from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anot," he was a previous judge. "In the days of Yael, the waters were empty. The travelers walked through crooked ways. The leader ceased in Israel. They ceased until I, Deborah, arose. Until I arose, a mother in Israel. Now, there are many mothers in Israel. There are many mothers today. We all had a mother, so we know that. But she is saying this in the context that I, a simple mother in Israel, had to arise to stand in the breach. God called me, a mother, to do the job. Because in reality, there was no real man in Israel who would do it. What a sorry state of affairs the children of Israel were in at this time. They chose new gods. Then war was in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? My heart is toward the lawgivers of Israel who offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless the Lord. Speak, you who ride on white donkeys, you who sit in judgment and walk by the way, louder than the voices of archers at the watering places. There they shall tell again the righteous act of the Lord, the righteous acts of his leaders in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, sing a song. Arise, Barak. Lead away your captive, son of Abinoam. Again, this is poetry. This is beautiful poetry. Then he made me tread on the remnant of the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. Out of Ephraim there was a root of them against Amalek. Now, you go down to verse 15. And the rulers of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar, and also Barak. He was sent on foot into the valley. There were great searchings of heart for the divisions of Reuben. Then we will drop down to verse 19. Kings came and fought. Then the kings of Canaan fought in Tanakh by the waters of Megiddo. They took no gain of silver. They fought from the heavens. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. And we will see from Josephus that there was a mighty storm raging, and the winds were furious that helped the Israelites against Sisera. The river of Kishon swept them away, that ancient river, the river of Kishon. O my soul, march on in strength. Then did the hooves of horses beat from the galloping of their mighty ones. Curse Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse the people of it bitterly, because they did not come to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Blessed among women shall Yael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, be. She shall be blessed above women in the tent. She took a peg and bashed in the brains of Sisera. And yet God says she shall be blessed, for she did this. She took action against the enemies of Israel. He asked for water, and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. Now remember, read this carefully. This is poetry, and it's Hebraic poetry at its best. She put her hand to the peg and her right hand to the workman's hammer. She hammered Sisera. She smashed his head. She pierced and struck through his temple. He bowed between her feet. He fell. He lay down. Between her feet he bowed. He fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead. Again, beautiful poetry. Then, of course, comes a sad part of Sisera's mother wondering, why is she so long in coming? Oh, he must be dividing the prey. Little did she know what had happened. Well, this is what the biblical account about Deborah. Now we're going to spend just a few minutes in Josephus, because Josephus adds some detail to it. And now it was that the Israelites, taking no warning from their former misfortunes, they never learned, they always went after other gods, to amend their manners, and neither worshiping God nor submitting to the laws, were brought under slavery by Yabin, the king of the Canaanites, and that before they had a short breathing time after the slavery of the Moabites, for this Yabin came out of Hazor. A city was situated by the lake, and there was situate over the hill of Samathus, and had in pay 300,000 horsemen. Well, Josephus was known to exaggerate a little bit when it came to men. I don't know that there were 300,000 of them, but trust me, there were a lot. 10,000 horsemen with no fewer than 3,000 chariots. Sisera was the commander of all the army and was the principal person in the king's favor. So they continued to undergo hardship for 20 years as not good enough of themselves to grow wise by their misfortunes. God was calling also hereby the more to subdue their obstinacy and ingratitude towards himself. So Josephus is acknowledging that God is doing this. So when at length they became penitent and were so wise as to learn from their calamities, they arose from their contempt and besought Deborah, a certain prophetess among them, which name in the Hebrew signifies bee, to pray to God to take pity on them and not to overlook them now that they were be ruined by the Canaanites. Remember when Samuel was in that position, the Philistines, and the people of Israel came and prayed to him that he would pray to God for protection? So God granted them deliverance and chose them a general, Barak, one that was of the tribe of Naphtali. Now, Barak in the Hebrew tongue does signify lightning. Interesting name. So Deborah sent for Barak. Well, we read that in the book of Judges. And to choose out 10,000 men to go against the enemy, because God had said that that was sufficient. And he promised them victory. But when Barak said that he would not be the general unless she would go as a general with him, this is her reply according to Josephus. She had indignation at what he said. And she replied, "Thou, O Barak, deliverest up meanly that authority which God hath given to you unto the hand of a woman." Again, this just confirms it. Barak, come on, be a man, lead the army, God will be with you. But he's fearful. And Deborah says, "I do not reject it." So she accepted the charge. There was no one else. What if she hadn't? Well, God could raise up stones, we know that. But not if unless he has to. So they collected 10,000 men and pitched their tent at Mount Tabor, where at the king's command, Sisera met them and pitched his army not far from the enemy. And now remember when we read at verse 14 of chapter 4, and Deborah said to Barak, "Up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand." Well, this is what happened. When they saw that, Barak himself were so affrighted at the multitude of their enemies that they were resolved to march off, had not Deborah retained them. So she had to encourage them. She had to stand between them and the Canaanites, saying, "God will be with you." And the battle began. And when they were come to a close fight, there came down from heaven a great storm, with a vast quantity of rain and hail. And the wind blew the rain in the face of the Canaanites. And the wind blew in their face, and so darkened their eyes that their arrows and slings were of no advantage to them. Nor would the coldness of the air permit the soldiers to make use of their swords. It must have been a freezing rain that came from God. While the storm did not so much bother the Israelites because it came at their backs. So here am I, it's like the wind coming almost horizontally straight behind me, straight into your eyes as though you were the Canaanites. You could hardly see anything, and it was such a cold wind that their muscles were not functioning properly. When God fights for you, he fights for you. So they then took such courage upon the apprehension that God was assisting them, that they fell upon the very midst of their enemies, slew a great number of them, so that some of them fell by the Israelites, some fell by their own horses, which were put into disorder, and not a few were killed by their own chariots. At last, Sisera, as soon as he saw himself beaten, fled away and came to a woman whose name was Yael, a Kenite, who received him when he desired to be concealed. And when he asked for water to drink, she gave him sour milk, of which he drank unmeasurably, that he fell asleep. And when he was asleep, Yael took an iron nail with a hammer, drove it through the temples unto the floor. And when Barak came a little afterwards, she showed Sisera nailed to the ground. What a sight that must have been. Thus was the victory gained by a woman. I emphasize that. Josephus emphasized it. Thus was a victory gained by a woman, as Deborah had foretold. Barak also fought with Yabin at Hazor, and when he met with him, he slew him. And when the general was fallen, Barak overthrew the foundation and was the commander of the Israelites for 40 years. And so in this particular saga, this particular episode of slavery, God used a mighty woman judge named Deborah. So if anybody ever feels, "I can't do much, you know, God always uses men, we women, we're just low mothers in Israel," well, I beseech you, I beg of you, remember the prophetess, the judge and mother in Israel, whose name was Deborah.
For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.